from Moses and his life and his response to God. We've learned so much through the plagues. And now this beautiful chapter on the 10th plague, the plague of the Passover. So we're going to look at the first 30 verses. It's a very long chapter. So to save time, we won't read through the whole 30 verses to get started, but we'll pick them up as we go. We'll just read the first 5 verses. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." Verse 6, "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly, the congregation of Israel, shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the 2 side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it." So our title's from verse 13. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." So when I see the blood. Lord, give us your wisdom, your Holy Spirit, speaking to each of our hearts through this time in your precious word. I pray that, Lord, we would do it honor tonight, that we would glorify you, and, Lord, again, that we would open our hearts to hear from the Holy Spirit. I pray that your will would be done in lives. In Christ's name we ask, amen. As we've walked through already in Exodus, we've seen how God has given us so many types. A Pharaoh, a type of the devil. Egypt, a type of the world. Israel, a type of the Christian. Tonight we see the type of salvation, and that is the Lamb. And just like it was the beginning of months that God actually reset their calendar based on this plague, based on this event, our salvation is a new beginning too, isn't it? We have 2 birthdays once we're saved. And it's the beginning of everything for us. It's a new beginning. And verse 3 is the first time in the Bible that God uses the word congregation. And this congregation was formed by blood. Sound like a type? A congregation formed by blood. And there are some types here and there of the church. They're rare because the church was a mystery to the Old Testament prophets. But this isn't a prophetic book. This is a historical book of Israel. And that word congregation, again, very interesting word, isn't it? But let's get to the Lamb, verse 5. "It shall be without blemish." So it had to be a male and it had to be without blemish. And if we go to 1 Peter chapter 1, keep your place here in Exodus 12. We'll be bouncing around. 1 Peter 1:18, we'll see that this is the first type of the Lord Jesus, and therefore the first way in which Jesus could be the fulfillment of the prophetic picture of the Lamb, and that was without blemish. Notice 1 Peter 1:18, "Forasmuch as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So Jesus Christ is that lamb without blemish. They had to have a lamb without blemish. And the second thing we know about the lamb, later on in the chapter, down in verse 46... it says, "In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof." That might seem minor But nothing with God is minor, and everything with God is perfect and exact. And if you go to Psalm 34:20, God prophesied that none of Jesus' bones would be broken. And as we see here, the Passover lamb had to be without blemish. It had to be a male, and it couldn't have a bone broken. Psalm 34:20, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Psalm 34 being one of the, what we call it, a messianic psalm, has prophecies about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you go to John 19:36, we'll see that God in his sovereignty worked things out to make sure that this was perfectly fulfilled. Now, in Bible days, in Roman times, with the crucifixion, as we know, if they wanted to end it earlier, then the soldiers would come through with a giant club, and they would break the tibia and the fibula of their legs so that they could no longer push themselves up. Because you typically died of suffocation with crucifixion. It wasn't necessarily blood loss. The Romans tried to make it as cruel as possible. You know, if they would have pierced veins, then they would have died pretty quick, or arteries. But instead, they made sure that they pierced where there weren't veins or arteries so that they had to slowly suffocate to make it as miserable as possible. And so what they did, what the people being crucified would do, is they would push up with their legs to take a breath. And then they'd have to set themselves back down. And can you imagine the pain? Because they're pushing up on a spike that's been driven through their body. They're having to push on that to take a breath. And so if they wanted to end it, as we see here in John, then the soldiers would come through with a giant club, break their legs, they could no longer push themselves up, and they would die of suffocation. And it says there, where are we? Verse 32, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. So notice here John quoting Psalm 34:20, which we just read, but also pointing back to the fact that the Passover lamb had to be a male without blemish, and none of its bones could be broken. So already we see where Jesus is the fulfillment of 3 points of the Passover lamb, in that he was a male without blemish, he is the Lamb of God, and none of his bones were broken. Without blemish, of course, the Bible says God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Jesus Christ was sinless. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ, when he went to Calvary, was perfect, never sinned once. He was completely without blemish, and none of his bones were broken. Verse 6 of our passage, Exodus 12, the fourth thing we see is that the lamb had to be killed, had to be sacrificed. So an innocent lamb. These lambs didn't do anything to, if you will, earn being killed for their blood. They were innocent in that sense. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't die for his own sin. He was innocent. He died for our sin. Praise God. And when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to his baptism in John 1:29, it says, and when John seeth Jesus coming unto him, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God commendeth his love toward us, Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it wasn't enough that you had to have the lamb and there had to be a male without blemish, but you had to kill it. You had to kill the lamb. And of course, Jesus Christ had to die on Calvary to pay the price for our sins. So that's four things already. But number five, and the biggest and most important, verse 7, they shall take of the blood. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. You can't get away from the fact that this book, and we talked about this when we saw the plague of the blood, but this book is filled with blood from start to finish. Blood is mentioned over 400 times in the Bible. It is a book about blood. And you know, many people might have considered this kind of barbaric, if you think about it. Not only, you know, killing a lamb, no big deal, right? Eat lambs anyway, but then to actually squeeze some blood out of the lamb into a dish, and then walk outside your house and take a hyssop and spread the blood on the two side posts and on the top post. Many people talk about how that can form a cross, but most people would look at that and say that is a little bit barbaric, just like today, 2,000 years later. A lot of people say the cross was barbaric. And it was. But it took that barbaric death to pay for our sins, because he also suffered for our sins. But it's also important to note that it wasn't enough that the blood was shed by the lamb. That's universalism. That's people who say, well, Jesus died for all, therefore all are going to heaven. That's not scripture, is it? It wasn't enough that you took the lamb and it had to meet all the requirements, had to be male without blemish, you didn't break any bones, and you killed it and even took the blood. That wasn't still not enough, was it? You had to actually what? Apply the blood. Amen? You had to take the blood and apply it to be protected from the death angel. Today, Jesus died for all. But to get to heaven, the blood must be applied to you personally. And that can only happen when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then the blood is applied to your account. So we don't believe in universalism, of course. We believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. But he's the only way for those that have had their blood, or had the blood applied to their account. This was also interesting that it was in public view. You know, God could have just said, I'll just do it inside the house. But it was on the outside of the house. So it was in public view of all those who might be walking by that they would see this blood. And that's what baptism is, isn't it? It's something that we do publicly to declare that we believe in God and that we've taken Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's a public thing. And God wanted this to be public. He wanted the Egyptians and even fellow Jews who might not have believed to see that you had to take the blood and you had to apply it. So then verse 8, they shall eat of the flesh in the night, roast it with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. So after they killed and drained the blood, they ate the lamb. But they had to roast it so that none of the bones would be broken. And, you know, Jesus Christ is not only our sacrifice, but is he not also called the bread of life? He's also our nourishment. Amen. We need to feed on him every day, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so no surprise there that they ate of the lamb as well. But we also see that it had to be unleavened bread all through the scriptures. Leaven pictures sin. Never an exception, not even in the parable of the leaven, which we talked about. God even refers to it as sin in 1 Corinthians 5:8. And when Jesus was taking the Passover with his disciples, which we often refer to as the Last Supper, they would have used unleavened bread, because leaven pictures sin, and Jesus has no sin. And this bread pictures the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 11, you shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. I love that. It's not a time to have a big fellowship. No, I want you to eat it with your gear packed and ready to go. And in the scriptures, when you see the disciples in Acts and people getting saved, they immediately got baptized and served Jesus. There was no waiting period. They didn't have to go to a series of classes first. They just immediately got up and got busy and served the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're about to leave Egypt, which we'll be talking a lot about in the future. And you and I are just pilgrims. Amen? Just passing through to our future home. This isn't our home. But verse 11, it is the Lord's Passover. This is important. He didn't say it is Israel's Passover. It is the Lord's Passover. Amen? And though the Jews were the ones who celebrated the Passover feast, it's not just for Israel. And that's important for you and I, because none of us are Jews. It's the Lord's Passover. That's Jehovah, all caps L-O-R-D. And if we go to 1 Corinthians 5:7, we find that Jesus Christ is our Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Purge out, 1 Corinthians 5:7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So notice it says, Christ, our Passover. Even verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. There he's taking the unleavened bread and spiritualizing it, if you will. So Jesus Christ was pictured here as the Lord's Passover. And every single one of these little tiny details had to be met for Jesus Christ to be the perfect fulfillment of this beautiful prophetic picture of the Passover. He had to be a male without blemish. None of his bones could be broken. He had to be killed and his blood shed. The blood had to be applied to be protected. And then he was the lamb was to be eaten, as we are to feed on the bread of life, all of John chapter 6, basically. And then the reminder that the lamb is the Lord's Passover. So verse 13, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. That word token, it also means sign. And God is telling them right up front, this blood is a token. Amen? It's a token. He said that about circumcision too. If you look at Genesis 17:11, circumcision was the sign between God and Israel. Genesis 17:11. It says, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. So circumcision was a token or a sign, a reminder, if you will, of the original Abrahamic covenant promise given in Genesis chapter 12. And therefore all Jews were to partake thereof because they were pointing back to the original promise of God, which still stands today. Amen. I'll bless those that bless you and I'll curse those that curse you. From Genesis chapter 12. So the circumcision was that token of that original promise to Abraham when Israel was originally formed by God himself. Just like this blood shall be a token or a sign of the fact that blood is the only way that sin can be paid for. How beautiful is that? And that's where he says in verse 13, our title, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'm pretty sure we have a hymn with that name. When I see the blood, it's a great hymn. It's the blood. It's all about the blood. Amen. it is for you and I as well. Let's look at some scriptures together. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Had to be a male without blemish. No bones could be broken. It had to be killed and the blood drained out and the blood had to be applied. It is the Lord's Passover. They ate it after they took out the blood. And God says, when I see that blood, I will pass over you. Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Look at that phrase, faith in His blood. Wow, that's quite a phrase, isn't it? To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Hebrews 9:22, I know most of you know this verse, but let's turn there. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Takes the blood. Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness unto the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And then one of my favorites, Revelation 7:14, talking about the tribulation saints who were killed for standing against the mark. It says, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of who? The Lamb. Blood of the Lamb. So even the tribulation period, their robes are made white because they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. What Lamb is that? The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's very important that we note tonight, it's God's Passover. It took the blood for God to pass over. When I see the blood, I will pass over your house. That's where the phrase comes from, the word comes from. They weren't protected because they were Jews. They were protected because of the blood. And if there would have been a Jewish house who said, well, that's too barbaric, or I don't want to get a lamb, then they weren't protected. It took the blood. Just like it takes the blood to protect us from eternal damnation. It's the blood. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. And we could spend the rest of the evening just talking about the power of the blood of Jesus. So back to our passage tonight. Verse 14, this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And so in verses 15 to 20, he describes what's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which Israel then kept every year as a, verse 14, a memorial. So that every year they could stop and remember the Passover. God delivered us from Egypt with the Passover. It took the blood for God to pass over our home and not kill the firstborn. And Jesus is our bread of life. And He wants us to be constantly feeding on Him. But Jesus is God's Passover. Verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel and two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in into your houses to smite you. He took the blood. Amen. Verse 27. verse 26. Well, it shall come to pass, when your children say unto you, what mean ye by this service? In other words, when you have this feast every year, 20, 30, 100, 200 years from now, and the children say, what does this mean? Verse 27, you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. Isn't that beautiful, that word sacrifice? It was a sacrifice. Jesus Christ, as we saw 1 Corinthians 5, 7, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. It took sacrifice for God to say to us, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And we don't have to face the judgment that we deserve for our sin, which is to be eternally separated from God. Ephesians 5, 2, if you want to turn there quickly, talks about this sacrifice. And it even then hints at the fact that then after they made the sacrifice and after they applied the blood, that then they cooked it, if you will. And it, notice it says Ephesians 5, 2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for us. Hebrews 10:12 says he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. So this was a memorial for them to remember every year. God delivered us with blood, the blood of an innocent lamb without blemish, an innocent lamb that we weren't allowed to break the bones. And we had to apply it. And every year they repeated this memorial to be reminded, just like we have what we call the Lord's Supper. That's a memorial, isn't it? It's a chance for us to stop and remember what Jesus did for us at Calvary. And so this feast was very similar to what we celebrate today when we take the Lord's Supper. Verse 27, the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. Amen. It came to pass at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt and the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne and to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And we talked about this last week. The wages of sin is death. God was teaching the world this great truth, how much he hates sin, that the punishment for sin is eternal death. And to think that all of these deaths could have been avoided if they had just trusted the Word of God. All they had to do was kill a lamb without blemish, not break the bones, take the blood and put it on the doorpost. And even today, 2,000 years later, think of all the eternal deaths that could be avoided. People would just listen to the Word of God and apply the blood of God's Passover, the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, to their account by trusting His sacrifice at Calvary. So God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And when we stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, either through the rapture or death, it looks like in Revelation 4, Revelation 5, we will be singing about the sacrifice of the Lamb and what that means to us. It means eternal life, eternity with God, all because of God's Passover. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful, beautiful chapter and truth. Beautiful foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Passover. And I pray, Lord, that it would just make us that much more grateful for what we have in Christ. Grateful for the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us from our sins and made us worthy, if you will, to go to heaven. That we're accepted in Christ. Thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that we would just continue to tell others about the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.